Hello, and welcome to another fascinating issue of Charlie Cook's Insider Circle Monthly audio programs, jam-packed with the most realistic, practical, and up-to-date money-making secrets. Your host is Charlie Cook. Charlie's been helping business owners attract more clients and maximize their profits for over two decades. And while most people were still trying to figure out how to use the web, Charlie sold his second website for just under $1 million. Today, Charlie is one of the most sought-after business mentors on the web and a best-selling author, recommended by some of the top marketing and sales experts of all time, including Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, J. Conrad Levinson, as well as online entrepreneurs like Yannick Silver. To get the maximum benefit out of this month's program, ask yourself these questions during the interview. How can I apply these ideas to my business and to my life? How can I do things differently and get better results? And what actions can I take today, this week, and this month to reach my goals? And you'll want to listen to the interview more than once. Every time you do, you'll discover new ideas, new strategies, and new ways to sell more of your products and services, make more money, and be more successful. Everyone knows there are two key parts to making money with your business. You know, first you need to attract clients, and then you need to manage your business so you maximize your sales and, most importantly, your profits. We've all seen in the last couple of years what happens when you just focus on marketing without focusing on optimizing your business and your profits. Banks, car companies, and thousands of businesses have gone down the tubes. But you don't want that to happen to you? On this CD, Charlie interviews Scott Holman. Scott's companies have twice been named to the Inc. 500 list of the fastest-growing privately held companies in America. The first he created with $5,000 he borrowed from his landlord. The last company he co-founded, he grew from zero to $85 million in just 21 months and was recently valued at nearly $1 billion. He now focuses on providing entrepreneurial companies with real-world implementation strategies and tactics to help them uncover hidden profits and maximize income. In the next few minutes, you'll discover ways you can ramp up your profits from your existing business, and in most cases, with less effort and less cost.
Hello, this is Charlie Cook, and one of the biggest problems that every small business owner faces, the white elephant in the room, is that it's not ideas that are holding them back. It's having the right systems and processes in place to maximize their profits. It's implementation they need help with. Managing a business for profit is just like baking a cake. Well, not exactly. Good recipe, you get a tasty cake. Bad recipe, it ends up in the dog's dish or in the trash. The same is true in business. With the right formula, you can double or triple your profits. With the wrong one, you could be struggling forever. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Scott Holman, who understands the science of success and will be sharing with us the simple formulas he developed and you can use to uncover the hidden profits in your business and transform it into a hands-down top-performing moneymaker, and how to accomplish this without spending a dime more on advertising or marketing. Scott, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Charlie. It's great to be here.
Scott, thanks for joining us and taking time out of your busy schedule. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background? Where and how did you discover the breakthrough formulas any business can use to make more money?
Yeah, sure. You know, as you know, Charlie, I came from humble means, to say the least. You know, my parents got divorced, I think, when I was 12, and we had no money, and my dad didn't, you know, pay whatever you call it, alimony, and so I actually started working full-time at a young age in the summer, so I really had that kind of work ethic, and I actually put myself through college working full-time, went through college at USC in California, and they had one of the first entrepreneurial programs in the U.S. There were only four undergraduate programs back then, and that's really where I got my desire to whether we want to be able to do my own thing versus working in the, I used to say, the 17th floor southwest corner desk number 6 at IBM or something, you know. So but the cool thing is, by the time I graduated, I was actually running a company. There's 35 people or so, and you know, I was doing really, really well. So I decided that, you know, went through the entrepreneur program at USC, and had this idea about going into hospitals and outsourcing the processing of medical records requests, because we sort of did at the company that I worked at through college, we did the opposite. We would go in there directed by an attorney or insurance company to copy medical records. And so I left that business and my security, borrowed $5,000 from my landlord, and you know, she said, back, it was back in the days when the interest rates were like 17 or 18%. And she said, I believe in you. Gave me a third on a house I had no equity in, so God love her. And, you know, that built that from the ground up into the 59th fastest growing privately held company in America. And much by the seat of my pants in the early days, you know. And one day I went to a seminar. I remember it's back during the Rodney King riots. And about half the people showed up that were supposed to. There were still about 400 or 500 people there. And I remember being really excited and hearing all these great ideas and writing down, I must have had 250 pages of notes or something. And in the end, I started asking people, let me ask you a question. You know, Charlie, well, you know, what'd you learn? And, you know, and everybody's excited and they're pumped up. And I started saying, well, yeah, well, have you ever written copy before? Or have you ever done a strategic alliance? Or have you ever done it? And I would watch their shoulders drop and the realization hit me. They have no clue how to actually get this stuff implemented. And, you know, when I built my business, I was forced to systematize. And the reason is we were copying like 40 or 50 million medical records files a year out at 800 or at 500 hospitals nationwide. One psychiatric record, one AIDS record, one sensitive record that went out to the wrong person or was released improperly, and we'd have a major lawsuit. So, you know, what it caused me to do is really look at business in the way of saying it's really all about the implementation, and that's what I've dedicated, you know, my life to for the last several years. You know, I built a second company that was made Inc. 500 list once again at 106, and then I built a third company back in the dot-com era. And even though we weren't .com, we grew it from 0 to 85 million, and we were going public 20 days from going public, valued at $982 million, just short of $1 billion. And you know, again, applying all the same principles of building a business. And then for the last 8 or 9 years, I decided I actually wanted to be a dad and be at home and have a life. And I've been, you know, teaching small businesses how to do the same thing. So. That's kind of what brings me today to my passion about this thing called implementation.
So let me just reiterate. You went to a seminar, and my assumption is a lot of the other people like you who were there were also relatively successful business owners, and there was a ton of ideas that were being handed out, but when you asked people if they actually knew how to implement those ideas, almost everybody said they had no clue.
Yeah, no clue. And even it's interesting, you know, I've really evolved since then. By the way, it's still the same today. And, you know, there's more and more ideas out there. There's more and more self-proclaimed gurus out there. Many of them are my friends, and I respect them enormously, and they're very smart people. But what I realized is the execution, the implementation, that's the hard part.
Right.
So, yeah, they had no clue. And even if they thought they had a clue, I just have to ask them a couple questions. So even today, one of the things, you know, when I do, and one of the things I'm going to share today when we talk is some simple strategies for increasing profitability. And I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of businesses from hundreds of industries in my private client group. And what I find is that very few, I can probably say one client I've ever had, did I get, you know, that came to me and spoke with me, I could say, wow. They're really good at execution. They really got their stuff together. They're maximizing and optimizing at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's we're not trained that way. You know, 85% of business owners have never run a business.
Well, and I think there's also the issue that, you know, if you could tell me, Scott, that you could hand me a magic pill, and if I just took it with a tall glass of water, that I would double my income the next day, I would be a very happy guy. But as you and I both know, that's not a reality.
Yeah, when you find that pill, send me a bottle.
So simple strategies for maximizing profitability. You know, if we move that down to simplest terms, what's that mean in terms of, you know, where's the money? Where are the hidden profits for most small business owners that they're missing?
you know, it's really in the execution. I just got done spending an all-day meeting. We got talking about this whole concept of execution, and he's gotten really into something called TOC and theory of constraints. It's rather complex, but it's really an execution. And for most small businesses, they go, oh, my God, execution equals work. And I said, no, not really. It's really taking a look at where most businesses can make the greatest breakthroughs is just to stop and say, take a look at what we're doing right now, and let's go back and take a look at how we can improve each of those things. So oftentimes I'll have somebody come to us and they'll say, show me how to get more sales, show me how to market more effectively, show me how to do social media, show me how to do pay-per-click marketing, et cetera. That's what I need to do in my business. I say, maybe. And then I start asking them some questions, and I start asking them about, are they implementing the fundamentals that are out there to improve profitability? And almost every time, I actually would say every time because I push real hard with it, is I realize that they're leaving tons of money on the table. So simple illustration would be to go back and revisit something that you already do that's successful and go back and see, and I'll talk about this, maybe later on and be more appropriate, but I want to touch on it now, which is to go back and take a look at what you're doing and see if you can make improvements. Now, that may sound so fundamentally simple, but very few businesses ever do it. And, sometimes going back and looking at a sales process, I had a client who were spending about $500,000 or so on TV advertising. They would drive people to this pre-recorded call. They're a legal client, and, hi, this is so-and-so, and, if you've been, having problems with blah, 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 blah. And I asked them, I said, let me ask you a question, Ben. When's the last time that you went back and reviewed that script? His answer was 4 years. so the easiest place to start is to look at what you're already doing well and seeing if you can one-up it. And then there are just a whole bunch of simple things. Like when I do a presentation, I just got done doing a presentation, and I gave a 90-minute presentation, and I shared 6 simple profit strategies and talked about implementation, and, I did it in a workshop style. And at the end of that, I asked everybody, I'm going to show everybody, it cost $5,000 to be here, probably another $3,000 in hotels in Las Vegas, and so I'm going to cover all of that for them except for their gambling debts. I did the presentation in the end. I said, how many people found at least $10,000 that you can cultivate from your business, not conceptual, not things that you have to spend money on to try to make work. How many people found at least $10,000 in pure profit? 90% of the hands are in the air, and it's all on video. It's pretty cool. And I go, 50,000. There's still about 80. I go, 100,000. There's still, half the rooms. Hands are up. Quarter million, there was still 50 or 60 companies, and over a million, there was a handful, and it was amazing. It was like 44, the final survey numbers were $44.2 million. Now, these are people, this is an important point, these are people that spent $80-some-hundred to go be serious about their business, and yet they still weren't doing these things.
So what are, you've worked with a lot of different companies, what are the most common areas that people are not doing a good job with in terms of execution and implementation?
Well, one of the areas is things like upselling and cross-selling. We go, oh, God, that's, come on, Scott. I learned that from Jay Levinson and Jay Abraham, 33 years ago. I said, that's right. You just didn't learn it right. McDonald's at one point, I don't know if the stats anymore, but at one point, would you like fries or Coke with that, generated 30% of McDonald's profits. Now, the key thing in an upsell and a cross-sell is, yes, you have to offer. There's a whole bunch of things that we teach to be able to implement it properly. But it's, first of all, are you doing it? And then once we identify that they're actually doing it, now we want to work on how to optimize and improve it. And I'll give you a great example. So I teach something called the business implementation success cycle. And I created this recently because I thought, I start talking about these concepts for improving profitability, and people, go, ah, yeah, I know that. Or, we're already doing that. It's the worst one. So I said, yeah, maybe, but I realized there are 4 phases in this wheel. And the first phase is what I call initialize. It's okay, we're not doing an upsell, cross-sell, and so we need to be able to implement that. So the example I could use is Rugman.com was a client of ours, and I did a program with J. Abraham and Chet Holmes called PEQ3. We set up live on stage and just kind of shared our thoughts. And it was kind of almost a hot seat type of an environment. There were 38 companies there, and one of them was Rugman.com. And they told me that they were one of the leading online retailers of Oriental rugs online. And so I said, well, God, you ought to be selling, you know, he told me they had these underpaddings and people need the underpaddings for underneath the rugs. And I said, well, you ought to be upselling and cross-selling that. He said, well, no, we got it on our site. I said, no, you're missing the point. When you get somebody who finally pulls out their wallet, they are in what I call a purchase state. And when they're in a purchase state, their guard's down and they're open. If you go back to McDonald's and you go, would you like fries or Coke with that? I didn't order fries. I looked at the menu. I ordered my Big Mac, blah, 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 back then, or supersize it now, and I didn't order it. I made the conscious decision that I don't want fries or a Coke. And yet you ask me that question, and 30% of the population says yes. Now, it's very, very important because in Rugman.com, same thing. All of a sudden it pops up and says, would you like underpadding? And you think, what the hell do I need underpadding for? Right? Well, would you like underpadding? We had a little pop-down menu that we created that said, here's why you need it. And, you know, it's interesting because you need it on hardwood floors, you need it on carpet. They've got an answer to everything. So what they did is they initialized. And what that means is that they put that on their website the day or two after they heard me give the idea. And I got a call from Oslin, who is the CEO, said, Scott, this is cool. We're getting 10% of the people are doing this. We're making like $7,000 extra profit a month. I thought, cool. I said, but... And he's that good. I said, what's pretty good? So I started working with them as a client. And I said, but the next thing you need to do is you need to take it to the next level of the cycle. He said, well, what's that? I go, it's called optimize. And he said, well, what's that mean? I said, well, so far I haven't had you write anything down. I haven't had you create any metrics. I haven't had you create, you know, any kind of tracking. He goes, yeah. And I go, so therefore you implement it right away. He goes, yeah. I said, well, now I'm going to optimize. I'm still not going to ask you to do any of that. But what we're going to do is go back and just evaluate the process and find out where we can one-up it. That's it. Don't even have to write that down. So that's where we created that little pop-down menu, which educated people on why they needed underpadding. Shot up to 20, and I don't remember this number well, but 23 or 24%. So now it's making about $14,000, $15,000. I said, we were not done now. Now we have enough momentum. Matter of fact, gosh, if I'm making $15,000 a month, that's $180,000 a year. That's almost $1 million over 5 years. That's pretty good. So I said, you are now in a position where I think you're highly motivated to now put in the time to move to the third stage of the cycle, which is called systemization. This is where we write down the procedure. First, we did step one, step two, step three. We start doing A-B testing. We start tracking the results and creating metrics and all those things that sound complex. But by now, you're going, I'm willing to do a little complex. I'm doing willing to do a little work for $900,000. And so in the last phase is called, I'm still trying to kind of find that eyes that I like. I call actualize, but it's not very good. But it's really expanding and saying, well, in their case, now let's also offer another upsell, and theirs was a stain guard thing. So I know this sounds simple. I just shared upsell, cross-sell. I talked about increasing the frequency of purchases of your clients, you know, where, you know, we all know we're supposed to go back and we're supposed to, you know, resell our customers, but how do you do that? And, you know, a lot of times what you'll find is, and even working with very high-profile companies, I'll find they're sending the same follow-up emails to everybody. And I go, yeah, but based on what they purchased, there's a logical path to what they're going to purchase next, and you need to do a better job of that. So we talk about frequency and, you know, again, four or five other simple concepts that companies just aren't doing. And the cool thing about this is it's not a few dollars. It's the difference between making money and creating wealth in your business.
Let's just take, you know, one so far. I mean, I'm interested in hearing, you know, the other core ideas. But if we just take the upsell, cross-sell concept, which hopefully everybody understands, which is, you know, basically the notion that if you've got someone in mind, something that they're in the buying mode and there's a likelihood you can sell them, you know, either a larger package or additional service or product. And I'm sure it's different in every business, but if you were just to say on average, for the average small business owner who's not really probably doing a very good job of that, what amount of additional revenue could that generate?
Yeah, I do this all the time, and you know, everybody wants to hear the double, triple, quadruple. And by the way, if you're not, depending upon the business you're in, it can be rather staggering. I mean, I had a client that was in the network marketing arena selling supplements, and their average 10,000 downline was selling $47 in the initial purchase, and she was at 212. You know, so you can have these profound differences. But what I teach everybody in our programs is if you focus on upsell, cross-sell for a month, you know, so you initialize, you optimize, and you put the systems in place, you cemented it in place, so it's going to produce over and over again. You put in the alarms, as I call them, so that when the results of your conversion rates drop, you instantly know about it. You can dive back in, and since you documented, you can go back and find where the problem is. I say just look for 5%. Somebody goes, well, that's not a very big number. I go, look, you know, when I do this at seminars, I'll always say to people, if you took your best idea you've ever had for growing your business, could you increase, and you really focused on it for a solid month or two, could you increase your profits 5%? Everybody says yes. I go, do you have 12 of these out of the 100 you've ever learned? Everybody says yes. I go, great. 5% a month. Then you take increasing frequency. You then move to referrals. You've moved into these fundamental proven things that every business that I know of, almost every business, to show respect to the few of you out there that are really got your stuff together, increasing profitability 5% by following the systems that we teach, you know, is I don't want to make this sound simple, but it is. It's easy. That's 60% a year, you know, so that's certainly realistic. It's 60% in 1 year. If you focused on it for 2 or 3 months, it's 60% over a couple years. And for most businesses, I know everybody wants to double, triple, quadruple next month, but for anybody who's serious about business, if you can grow your profits 60% a year, you're going to be doing pretty well.
So the other thing I just want to remind, you know, everybody who's listening to this, that to get, even if it's just that 5%, which, you know, for someone making $100,000 might be only $5,000, but for someone making, you know, $1 million is substantially more, that the cost of doing that is essentially nothing. It's just a matter of paying attention and being systematic about it.
When you optimize and systematize your business, and it is, the cost is zero, the risk is almost zero, and the cool thing is you're already doing it. Look, people have gotten the heck beat out of them with trying to follow one. You know, I tried this advertising because the guy said it was going to work, or, you know, I invested all this money in various different marketing and it never really worked, or I hired sales reps and paid them $2,500 a month for 3 or 4 or 5 months. I hired 4 or 5 of those guys. You know, I always teach, forget that. That's all important. And we talk details in our programs about how to do that, but why do you want to go and worry about spending money and taking risk getting new clients if you haven't optimized your current business? So it's interesting that little $5,000 we just talked about. So a guy's making $100,000, he spends a month and upsell cross sell makes $5,000 a year. He goes, whoop-de-doo. And I go, maybe whoop-de-doo. Are you in business for a year and then you go out of business? She says, well, no. I say, so if we did it systematically, like I just suggested, you went through the wheel and did it systematically, that $5,000 probably will repeat in the second year. The item might change. What you're upselling, cross-selling might change, but the system won't. After 5 years, that's $25,000. And I go, it doesn't stop there, because I'll say, how many people want to sell their business someday? Either you or your kids or somebody. Yeah, every single person raises their hand. And I go, well, you know, I've bought and or sold, I have to say this properly because it screws people up when I say that, you know, 8 companies, and, you know, they're bought on a multiple of what's called EBITDA, your profit, your earnings, oftentimes, plus whatever if you've got buildings and whatnot to take it into account. And it's not uncommon for it to be 4 to 6 times earnings. So if you just use 5 times earnings, that little $5,000 extra, right, the little cookie cutter accountant who's doing the analysis for your acquiring company looks at it and says, okay, that's worth $25,000. So this $5,000 generates $5,000 a year over, say, 5 years, and you sell your company, you get another $25,000, generates $50,000. If you're a $1 million company, by the way, it's $500,000. And this is not baloney money, right? One of the cool things about the business implementation success cycle is when you initialize, you already know it's going to work, and if it doesn't work, you've wasted very little time. So I call this, by the way, Charlie, you've heard me say this before, it's the boring way to riches. We are in a society right now where it's show me something new. You know, God, you know, the latest, greatest social media this, the greatest, greatest this, the latest, greatest this. I think, well, you haven't implemented the last 47 things you bought. You know, so get focused in, and I know you focus on this too. You know, you're one of those few out there that are bringing people real tangible, ideas about how to grow their business and giving them the how, and that's what's missing out there in spades. And it's gotten so bad because I recently there was a major launch done, and I just finally got to listen to the material out there, and I got to share with you. I just came back on my flight back from Atlanta feeling. Like I got frisked, because that's probably not the right word. But the bottom line is, it was like hearing myself talk. You know, I'd been duplicated, and that's how easy it is. Somebody just takes your material and duplicates it. Except there's no breath beyond the ideas. There's no, you know, you're missing the key ingredients, which is how to get the darn thing implemented.
So I want to reiterate that the basic concept here is same business, same customers. Same products, no new technology needed, no big spend in advertising, no trying to master, you know, the dubious things like, you know, social media, and potential for 60% more profits just by applying some key ideas in a systematic fashion to your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Very scientifically. You know, for some businesses, it might be, you know, it depends upon how effective they are right now. You know, some it might be 25 or 30% instead of 60, and a lot of them will be above 100, and it can all happen in 12 months.
So can you just, walk us through, you know, as you did with the upselling, cross-selling, for example, with, you know, frequency of purchase, give us another example of a client or a situation where you saw that they used that idea and explain how they used that.
Okay. One of the greatest examples I like to use with this one is a dentist, right? So we all go to the dentist. I like to use real common examples. So this is a fellow, it's a dentist in Tennessee, and dentists are one of those ones where they better do something about frequency, because I don't know about you, Charlie, but, you know, I'm not rushing off to the dentist.
Me either. I ignore those reminder cards, too.
Yeah, right. You ignore the reminder cards and, you know, do you want to book an appointment? Yeah, I'll get back to you on that. So, and, you know, so, yeah, you know, I'm with this dentist. He's doing about $1 million a year. And I said, well, you know, what's your average frequency? You know, people are supposed to come in every 6 months to get their teeth cleaned. And by the way, it's interesting. When somebody comes in for a teeth cleaning, an initial customer, by the way, they will spend $680 or something on average in the following 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, getting them in for the cleaning isn't just about the cleaning. It's now, and especially now you've got teeth whitening and all these other enhancements that they can offer. So he said, you know, about 8 months. And I said, well, and by the way, he didn't say about 8 months. It's real important to make sure. It took me like 15 minutes to get the 8-month answer because they don't know. They're not tracking anything, you know. And so it's about 8 months is the best I could do. So I looked at him and I go, well, what if it was 7 months? He goes, well, what do you mean? I go, if I got them to come in here more frequently, I got people to come in to do it. I said, what percentage of people, be honest with me, I know you're a dentist, what percentage of people should come in every 6 months to get their teeth cleaned? He said, everybody. He gave me the reasons why. You know, that if, you know, if your gums aren't clean and bacteria and blah, 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 and there's a statistic about if you don't floss and don't keep your teeth clean, et cetera, it takes like, you know, a few years off your life expectancy. So he gets some good stuff. I said, okay, so you're passionate about that. He said, I'm passionate about that. I said, so if you get them in every 7 months instead of 8 months, I said, do you realize it's a, and I have to look at my notes here because I can't remember the percentage, it's a 14% increase in your revenue. Now, it's almost double the profit. I want to repeat what I just said. It's 14% increase in revenue, almost double the profit. The reason is that he had capacity and his hygienist had capacity, and so there's some commissions and whatnot were paid. It's almost pure profit. So if you got a million dollar practice, and a dentist is making $150,000 a year, and you now increase that by $140,000, like 14% of a million, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, 80% profit. You're adding like over $100,000 profit. You go from making 140 to 240 or 250. It's massive. So when I talk about this boring way to riches and this, oh, yes, God, show me something new, it doesn't take much. So in his case, the process was really simple. The first process, I said to him, well, tell me what you do right now. He said, well, what we do right now is, it's a typical thing. We try to book people for appointments, and certain AL people will actually have their schedules and know what they're going to be doing in 6 months. I'm not one of them. And then we do a follow-up call at about five months, I think it was, and then we make a phone call and leave a message, and then we send a follow-up postcard. And I said, well, what a percentage of people are coming back in that 6 months? And I think his answer was that 30% still didn't come back in, like 30%, big number. Now, some of those people passed away, some of them moved, and some of them are Scott. And so I said to him, well, what else do you do? He said, well, nothing. I said, wow. I go, why don't you keep going? I said, do you realize that, what we did is, what he said, you could basically send them three more postcards, say it cost $1.50 for the three or something, it's cheap, and you take the 300 patients or something, just using 1,000, 300 patients that were non-responsive, it's $450. You only need a couple of them to make that work. And I said, yeah, but now we get creative. Now we get postcards that they showed a mouth with gingivitis, and it said, your risk of having this outcome go up exponentially when you don't get your teeth cleaned, and there was a little chart. So, now it gets a little bit more pain-oriented. And so, just a few simple follow-ups to be able to create this simple shift from 8 months to 7 months. Cost $450 or something a year, it's cheap. So for those of you, by the way, that are listening to this, I don't care what business you're in, what I want you to do is go, you know what? Wow, we follow up. What if we follow up one more time? We follow up, but, we have a standard follow-up. How can I create either some pain or some more compelling benefit, to get people to finally respond in a way that, generates even more profit for me? And as long as your profit's greater than your cost, you're winning.
While you were talking about that, I was thinking there's one real simple way to follow up that most people don't even do, which is when they send an email, there's nothing to say for the people who didn't open the email. You can change the title and send it again.
Yeah, I heard a stat the other day. I'm trying to think what it's an amazing statistic. You know this area better than I do, but it can be a significant increase in profitability just because you're hitting a different hot button. And this raises a question, by the way, which is when I spoke at an Evan Pagan's Altitude event, it was like $10,000 a person or something, and I got talking about A/B testing, and so he stopped and he said, "How many people out there A/B test?" They raise their hands. Keep your hands up. He said, how many A/B tests once a month and once a week? He got down to once a day. And A/B testing, by the way, for those that you just make sure we're all on the same page, is where, you're going to test that one subject line that Charlie just talked about against another one and see which one pulls better, because you could literally set it to half your list and see which one pulls better as well. And so there were like six people out of the 200 that had their hands up. I'm curious, what's your revenues? $6.5 million. Most of these are information marketers. How about you? $50 million. Dr. Barcola, $50 million. $25 million. The lowest of the six was $3.5 million. And, this, again, is one of those instant profit generators of just A/B testing. And when we talk about A/B testing, you can A/B test anything. You can change, the headline on your website and alternate, what homepage people see. You can A/B test pricing, to change from one price to another. I mean, I just was on the phone. I just had a client, new client launch, and they're charging $50 a month for their maintenance. And the way that they do it, you almost have to take their maintenance. So I just looked at him and I said, well, why don't you raise it to $59? I said, you got 1,000 of them. That's $9,000 a month in increased profit. Nobody's going to blink. You know, so it's very, very significant. When I talk about increasing frequency too, one of my favorite ones, people go, yeah, that works for Dennis, but it doesn't work for me. You know, I'm different. And so usually when I speak, I give lots of different examples. So somebody said, well, you know, I sell something once in a while, Scott. I said, well, you sound like the pool company. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, how often does somebody buy a swimming pool? You know, and I go, not very often. I said, but you can get creative. And they said, well, like what? I said, well, like this local swimming pool company. They're not a client of mine, by the way, but I know their system. They do about $30 million a year, I guess. What they do that's brilliant, it's absolutely brilliant. What they do is the standard out here in Chicago is a 10-year warranty on your pool. So they just changed it to a 20-year warranty. Now, by the way, people stay in their houses an average of 6.6 years. They changed it to 20-year warranty if you open and close your pool with them. Now, to open and close your pool here in Chicago is about $1,500. So 20 years at $1,500 is $30,000, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I usually have somebody in the crowd who will say, well, yeah, you just said people only live in their house 6.6 years. I said, yeah, you know what? You're right. But if they're smart and they follow other systems that we teach as far as increasing the frequency of purchase, they're going to make sure they stay in contact with their customers when their customers actually move and, you know, notify them I no longer need service or supplies. They're right in there to say, hey, Mr. Cook, Mr. and Mrs. Cook, we did the Hallman's pool for the last 6.6 years, and you know, we'd love to continue with you. The last thing in the world they want to do is go find a new pool company.
Exactly, especially if they can keep the guarantee or warranty going.
Right, exactly. So
upselling, cross-selling, increased frequency of purchase, amazing amount of potential there. What else?
One of the biggest ones, my big one I'm on these days is referrals. and referrals are the most overhyped. The damage that's been done to referrals it really bothered me. And what I mean by that is, again, well-meaning marketing trainers said referrals are free. They're the best source of income for you. Just go ask all your clients for referrals, and you'll double, triple your business. So what happens? And, by the way, I know what happens because I did detailed research on this among our group. I said, well, what happens? I go, well, let me tell you what happens. I'm all pumped up. I come back from the seminar. I go call up my customers, or I go, and I want to get a referral. And so I call up my customers, and I ask for referrals, and I'm uncomfortable. I feel kind of cheesy, and you know, ugh, so I don't want to do that anymore. Or I get a referral. I contact the person that Charlie said to call, and they go, who? You know, and I'm feeling uncomfortable. I don't want to do that anymore. Or I go, oh, great. 1, 2, 3, June 15th, I'm mailing out to my list of 2,000 customers and asking for referrals. It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? So I got really curious about this, and I teach something called active referral systems. An active referral system is a lot of companies that we work with will say, well, Scott, I get referrals all the time. I go, God bless you. You know, I'm a chiropractor. I get referrals. I go, great. I go, but is it active or passive? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, well, do you have a system in place where you're cultivating and following a system to get referrals? He says, well, no, they just love us. They heard about us. I go, because you do a great job. That's called a passive referral, and I'm glad you have those. But if you just have a passive referral system, literally you can double or triple your referrals by activating it. And I didn't say double or triple your business because, you know, maybe 10% of your business is referrals. Double or triple, listen to me, double or triple your referrals by activating it. They say, what's that mean? And so when I went out to all of my clients and I surveyed them, and I came up with 16 reasons why referral systems fail, and they're in three categories. They're why don't I get referrals in the first place, why don't I convert the referrals into paying customers, patients, or clients, and why do I fail to optimize and leverage off those referrals to maximize their transactional value. And so, you know, one of the things that I'll share with the group, I'll show you how to literally double your referrals by simply activating your customers. And let me give you an example of this. So if you're the chiropractor, right, and you're getting referrals because you are a good chiropractor, we want to activate it. So what happens is a lot of first step of that would be, well, what we're going to do is we're going to ask people. Well, there's a whole bunch of things. There's like 12 different key elements that we teach for being able to properly activate. But one of them, certainly, is you got to ask. So it may sound simple. We're going to know what chiropractor is going to ask. But now it's when do you ask? So one of the keys with chiropractors, if you ask for a referral, day two or three, I'm pretty confident that you might get punched in the arm. You're not going to get a referral because a chiropractic client patient usually feels worse after the first two or three visits, right?
Right.
You know, and so it doesn't do any good, and it doesn't do any good to send a referral to a chiropractic client 6 months down the road because, by the way, once they finish chiropractic and they're feeling better, they probably feel what then? Worse again. So the timing is really crucial, and I teach people, I like the word state, I kind of stole it from Tony Robbins, but you know, you want to get people what I call a peak referral state. So I now get people talking about, you know, the carpal tunnel and the fact that, oh, and they had the breakthrough, and they get talking about the fact that, you know, for the first time in years, they're sleeping at night because their arms aren't throbbing, or, you know, carpal tunnel is what you get from being on the computer too much, and it's very painful, almost an arthritic type of a pain for people. And so you now have this breakthrough. And at that point, they're in peak referral state. They're talking about it. They're a breakthrough. And that's the time to now pop the magic question. So you now say, by the way, you know, if the person does this a lot, probably knows a lot of other people that type a lot, may be part of a data entry group or something. And that's the time to now say, by the way, you know, who else do you know that we could help with this? I never use the word referral, by the way, other than when I'm talking about it illustratively like this. Now, that's not enough. So let me teach you that, you know, some people will say, well, Scott, we do that. I said, look, let me double or triple your conversion rate. They go, really? I go, no, really. Let's double, triple your conversion rate. Doesn't cost a nickel. I want to now activate that person. What's that mean? Well, if they give me their name and number, and the chiropractor now will not call them, that would be inappropriate for a lot of businesses. So that chiropractor is now going to send them something in the mail and says, Mary Smith is our patient, and, you know, we helped her with this, and here's what she had to say, and, you know, we can help you too. That's good. It's not bad. It's good. But it's beginning to activate. It's more than passive. What I want to do is get my patient, Mary, to contact her friend and tell her friend about her carpal tunnel. It's a completely different world. When I now contact that person, and the chiropractor could get permission then to have a phone call with them or to have them come in for a free visit, it is a world of difference. You know, I violated my own law rule on this recently. I got referred to a coaching client from one of my clients, and I told him you got to contact them, and I didn't follow up to make sure he contacted them, which is one of the steps in the process. And I called it. It's his uncle. And I go, Tony Smith, you know, I work with Tony Smith, and so I had the little, and he goes, who? That's his nephew.
Oh, dear.
Guy's in New York. Who? You know, and so I start talking, I'm tripping over my words, and I'm supposed to be the master of this thing because I'm feeling that feeling of embarrassment, discomfort, all the things I try to avoid by activating him. And the bottom line is he said, send me some information. I hung up and was like, I don't want anything more to do with that. So I know that sounds simple, but if you just activate them, you just get them to contact the person that they know, and you do not follow up with that person until you validate that your friend or your patient or your client or your customer has actually contacted them, it will double your referral conversion rate. It's getting referrals.
And, I mean, I had a client who I showed basically the same strategy beginning of 2008. He was struggling, thought he was going to have to sell his business, and I showed him the referral strategy, and within 6 weeks, he had 30 new clients and was busier than a chicken with his head cut off and ended up having the most profitable year he'd ever had in business last year in the midst of the beginning of this recession. So it's just amazing the power of the referral strategy, and that's just one of the strategies you're talking about.
Yeah, it's one of 16, but I think you're right, and as you and I have talked about, and before we brought up earlier, depending upon what you charge, if you know, and the chiropractor that I was working with, they did a special process called spinal decompression, and it's about a $4,000 program. So, you know, doesn't take many referrals for that to be an interesting thing. And so, you know, if you've done referrals in the past and it hasn't worked, you know, this is a simple way to do it. The other one is, and it's real important right now that I teach, I'll just touch upon it, is building customer relationships. And if many of the businesses, if they're smaller, go, you know, Scott, I only have 12 clients and I talk to them all the time, you know, then you're probably doing a reasonably good job. Although in our process, I have a 10-step process. Remember, when I built my national medical company, I had 500 hospitals nationwide. We retained 96% of those over 8 years. 96%, and I had 1,600 competitors by the time I sold the company. And it's because we followed this process. And the process starts, by the way, when does your customer relationship start? The minute they, you know, it starts during lead generation, the minute they learn about you, the minute they contact you, and it stays all the way through life, and there are very specific things you need to do. And people take for granted these customer relationships. And I'll give you a great example is I have a client, and what they do, by the way, and if anybody needs help with this, it's really cool. You have to be a big shipper, and they basically work with companies to reduce their FedEx and UPS bills because there's all of these surcharges and hidden things in there that are very, very complex, and so none of us can seem to follow them. And so what they do is it's all based on performance. They go in and they work with companies to reduce their shipping bills. And so he was telling me about his referrals. He said, well, I tried this, none of them worked. I go, of course they didn't work. He said, why? I said, because you guys, once you get a client, you're on autopilot, and these clients, they haven't lost a client other than going out of business. Because, you know, every month they're auditing the bills and putting money in the client's pockets. And so they don't see a need to stay in contact with their customers. So I said, how can you ask for a referral? Referrals aren't about, those of you out there that are trying to, like, bribe your people and, you know, give you $50 for a referral, it's a waste of time. You're going to have a handful of people that do that because they want the money. People refer based on relationship. People refer because they want to help you. And, you know, so it's not that you can't reward them. I back end reward all the time. But, somebody's not going to refer because I say, I'll give you some money to refer me to a coaching client. They're going to refer because they believe in what I do or what you do, and they want to refer you. So I said, you have to build the relationships. Not only that, they said, well, they're also, you know, they were telling me they were having a hard time. Remember I talked about increasing frequency and selling more items. They have another service that's twice as profitable, but the clients aren't buying it. Only like 10% of them are buying it, and they all should be buying it. And I said, yeah, because they don't even remember. They just see you as this is a company. You're, you know, this is what you do for us, and you're a small part of our business, and there's no relationship. So building customer relationships is so critical, especially during this challenging economy right now, so that they, A, keep you, and they buy more from you, and they want to refer you. And I have a client who's the number two largest duck farmer in the United States, and it's a great story. Dr. Joe is Caucasian, and his trade, his focus of his business, like 90% of his business, is the Chinese trade. And I'm talking many of them in Chinatowns and whatnot, they don't speak English. Dr. Joe is out every week, every 2 weeks, out just popping in, saying hello, just building relationships. And it's interesting because I've been working with him 5 years. I don't care whether the market's good or bad, his customers don't leave him. I don't care whether the market's good or bad, he doesn't have to keep dropping his prices down, you know, off the charts when the economy gets tough like his competitors. So for those of you that don't do this, it's really crucial. And again, I told you this is going to be the boring way to riches, but that's what it is. The last one I think I want to touch on is the one I started with, Charlie, which is I call it leveraging your success, but it's really a system. And I do these monthly conference calls with my private clients, and I'm always asking myself the question, how do I one-up? How do I help them implement even better? And so one time I thought, you know, I'm always talking about problems and challenges and overcoming this and overcoming that. What if I focused on how do we do what we already do well better? And it's a simple four series process, but it goes back to focusing on what you're already doing well. So if you have a good sales process if you've got a good conversion process in your, if you're an online business, you've got a great process conversion, or you have a great process for upselling or cross-selling, you have things that are working well, go back and look and see where you can one-up it. And it's amazing because, you know, you'll forget. You know, you'll forget when you go back and look at the process and you now are on your website and you go through your whole sales process, your whole upsell, cross-sell, and you evaluate that, you go, wow, what if we did this? You do the A-B test. And it's, it, you know, getting 5% increase for something like that, it's really easy. And this applies, by the way, to not only your marketing, but basically everything you do. How you hire, how effectively you train, how you handle your inventory, you know, it applies to every part of the business. So it's another one of the boring way to riches things that that are so effective. And these are simple concepts. They're simple concepts, but if you buy into, you know, when I was with Brad Fallon, we're talking about a product we're going to be launching together, I was with him for 10 hours. We spent 2 hours talking about what strategies we were going to teach and you know, that whole process of how to help show people how to optimize profitability with a little time, money, effort, or risk, and we spent 8 hours on execution discussing how we teach execution. Because one of the things that's critical, if you learn to properly execute, I don't care whether you implement my ideas or Charlie's ideas or ideas you learned at some other seminar, I don't care. Because everything you do, you'll be able to produce significantly more money. And I don't make this comment lightly, and hopefully after I've grounded everybody in this, you'll understand and respect why it sounds like I'm changing tune. I'm not. You can absolutely double your business by becoming a master executor.
One challenge for you here, Scott, which is that one of the issues is that to be more effective in implementation, people need to be more systematic. And inherently, most people, except for a few, you know, people I know who are fairly compulsive and detail-oriented, most people are not systematic. So do you have a way for people to follow your system so they become more systematic about their implementation?
Yeah, well, you know, my membership site's called the smallbusinessgrowthclub.com, and on there we have like 40 of, I call them training workshops, because rather than just, again, teaching a concept like upsell, cross-sell, what we do is we sort of say, here's upsell, cross-sell, and then there's a 10-step process for all of those. So, you know, it's literally, I don't want to like the paint by numbers because it simplifies things, but it's the ability to be able to say, okay, if you take something like upsell, cross-sell, what's the first thing I need to do? I'm not systematic. I don't really know what to do. Some guy told me to do this, and I'm doing it. I said, well, the first thing you need to do is identify what product is going to trigger an upsell, cross-sell. And so I go through a whole bunch of 4 or 5 different ways, depending upon your business. I just stop the tape or stop the audio now or the video now and decide which one of those is you. And then you say, okay, that's great. Then you move on to the next thing and saying, okay, now what is the marginal profitability? What's the profitability of that item? Because maybe you have to sell it, upsell, cross-sell at full price to make money. And by the way, you know, that may not be the best choice. Or you can upsell, cross-sell that item at a discount, maybe a significant discount if you have low margin. If you're an information product person and you have no real cost in upselling from the standpoint of your product cost and you're not shipping anything out, you can make a pretty attractive deal. And that's why in the clothing business, you have somebody who, you know, says buy these 2 shirts and get the 3rd one free because they got a real high margin. So, you know, you need to understand what your margins are, and then you need to. So there's a whole process you go through. That, you know, then you need to understand the timing. The timing of when an upsell cross-sell offer is made is the most important thing, other than relevancy. You know, if you're trying to sell donuts when you're, you know, selling jackhammers, it's probably not a very good upsell, cross-sell. But assuming you have a good upsell, cross-sell, a relevant one, I'm getting my oil changed, and now you're going to ask me whether or not I want my transmission fluid changed or something. The timing of the question is the most important thing to the success of an upsell, cross-sell. So there are steps. So that's how you would get, you know, help from us to be able to do that. In a more generic way that doesn't involve us is I teach something called the 50% solution, because I've got to make sure I say this right so that it doesn't come out wrong, but some of you will never be great executors. It's just not your nature, your ADD, your entrepreneurs, and so, first of all, you should get somebody that can do that for you that is anal about that kind of stuff. But let's just say you said, Scott, I don't want to hire anybody. I said, great. Then we're going to follow the 50% solution. You say, what's that mean? It means do it pretty well. You're not doing it at all right now. So, if you can make sure that you begin to ask referrals on a consistent basis, and you simply, track the number of patients that are coming in the door and how many have ever been asked a referral, you're way ahead of the game. And what I have found is that momentum will create that you to want to move to the next step of systemization. And for some of you who are really, really poor at staying focused, once you start seeing these streams of increased profitability, now you can outsource or hire somebody that, can put those things into place and get you the maximum that you should be getting from those.
Great. Well, that's very helpful. So you mentioned the Small Business Growth Club. First of all, the website for that is smallbusinessgrowthclub.com, is that right?
Yeah, small business spelled out. Yeah, smallbusinessgrowthclub.com, no hyphens or dashes or anything, .com.
And that's obviously one way people can get into and discover the boring way to riches. What are other ways they can tap your knowledge and expertise?
Well, we also have a coaching practice, as you know, and if a company has revenues of $250,000 or more, they qualify for a coaching program. And we always start those relationships off by having somebody just contact us. We set up a 30-minute meeting. We tell them we'll find them $10,000 in found profit before we go even to the next step, before we ask them for a penny or a nickel of what we do, to be able to demonstrate that we can help them. And if they can just email, Pat handles that for us, and it's pat@scotthallman.com, and it's HALLMAN.com. And if they qualify for that, then they can contact us and get that set up as well. One other thing on the Small Business Growth Club, by the way, is I talk a lot about optimization, profit optimization, sometimes so much that I get pigeonholed in being the profit optimization guy. But at the Small Business Growth Club, it's a wheel, and it's marketing, it's sales. You have to get marketing and generate leads, and you got to be able to sell and convert people. Then you have to be able to manage that whole process. Then you have to be able to optimize your profitability, and you have to make sure you have the right mindset as well for success. And we cover all of that. I have this all the same kind of step-by-step information in all of those areas as well. So, if somebody wants to, go check it out, and we have some helpful tips and whatnot as well. My passion is it's all about, teaching people the how. And recently I started using a term, and it's...
Just before we go, can you just let listeners know what's the easiest way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, if they want to get in touch with me, it's best through Pat, and they can go to pat@scotthallman.com. Be happy to answer, any questions and see if we can help you at all. And, upcoming, one of the things, was with Brad Fallon, is we're going to be doing a launch on a very special program where, so you guys can kind of just stay tuned. But it's a 16-week training program on the profit strategies that I shared today. There's actually eight different modules, and we're going to go really deep. So the goal is that every 2 weeks we're going to have a new module. You're going to have 2 weeks to work on it. So it could be upsell, cross-sell. We're going to get, just 2.5 hours of training, and then we've got 3 to 4 hours of Q&A throughout the week where people can come on and say, how does that apply to me? And we've got virtual coaching tips that are coming from me on an ongoing basis via video. They're little 2 or 3 minute snippets to help you sort of stay focused. And it's getting really deep. We're expecting about 1,000 is what we've capped it at. And it should be a lot of fun. And I guess I'd just say stay tuned, So.
And does that have a name? Should we be looking for?
I'm embarrassed to say that we're still, it's originally was called Profit Now 2009. We're being told that we need something catchier. And so, I don't know what it's going to be called yet. So the launch will be taking place end of August, the beginning of September. And so that's the best I can do. Profit Now 2009 is still what it's called.
Well, we'll be looking for it. And it's been a great interview, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Enjoyed it as well, and love to hear you doing this and taking it out to the audience, because I think that by And I know you are so meticulous about, you know, making sure that you are delivering content that's valuable to your listeners, and really giving and educating people, and not, you know, constantly looking for something that can be promoted. And I really appreciate that. So,
well, thank you again.
All right, bud. Take care.